Tom is going to come and read to us from God's word, and I hope Tom is going to read Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through to 40. That sounds right. Good.
This morning's reading can be found on page 925 of the Church Bibles. As we are going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and bought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews and are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having restored this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for light and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. But when it was day, the magistrate sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No, let them come themselves and take us out." The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and took them out, and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia, and when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed.
Thank you, Tom, for reading God's word to us. I have a very small confession. I've only taken one baptism before, and I looked at my notes yesterday and realized that I spoke on Acts chapter 16 at that baptism. So if you were at Framsden, I do apologize. However, as I only realized last night, there's no cutting and pasting. It's brand new. Well, it's not brand new, it's God's word. It's been around for 2,000 years. Sorry. Now, I'm going to just explain what we've heard just a little bit. If you switched off at all, a very brief run through. We have Paul and Silas, who are both wonderful Christians. Paul was dramatically converted from a life of hatred towards Christians, where he would go and arrest them and have them killed. And he was converted to Christianity, and immediately he went and was telling the world about Jesus. Immediately he went and was telling people of the love of Christ. And that's what we find him doing now in this town of Philippi. Yes, of Philippi, sorry. And Paul and Silas are going around. They've already met a lady and her family, a lady called Lydia. She was baptized. Her whole family were also baptized. And then later on, Paul and Silas were going to pray. They were going to a place to pray when they saw this girl who was a slave, who was owned by someone. We don't know much about that. But she had a spirit within her, which would be an evil, a demonic spirit that was supposedly allowing her to tell the future and things. She followed Paul around and was crying out to them and mocking them, really. And eventually, we read that Paul got annoyed, not at her, but at the spirit within her. And he said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And immediately, this demonic spirit was withdrawn from her. Now, that's wonderful to see God's power. But the owners of this girl don't react very well, and they have Paul and Silas thrown into prison for what should be a loving act. Paul and Silas were doing the right thing. They were doing a godly thing, and they were thrown into prison. Now, if I was thrown into prison, and not just into prison, but into the inner prison with my feet in the stocks, I don't know what I'd be doing. Paul and Silas were singing praise to God, and that's truly wonderful. When suddenly there was this earthquake, and the doors opened, the chains were unfastened, first thing I'd do, run as fast as I can. Paul and Silas didn't. The jailer came bursting through. He panicked. He knew that the Romans would probably kill him if all of the inmates had gotten away. So he thought he'd do it first. And he was about to jump on his sword when Paul and Silas told him not to. "We're all here," they said. And then he asked this glorious question, this wonderful question. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus. You and your household will be saved if they also believe in the Lord Jesus." And then this jailer, whose name we don't know, his whole family, whose names we don't know, were taken that day and baptized because they were trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul and Silas were eventually let go. And then with the jailer and with this lady Lydia and others, this church in Philippi was set up and grew. And later on, Paul would write letters, a letter at least, to them. Now, why am I so drawn to that passage, that the only two baptismal services I've ever taken, I've spoken on it? Well, it's a wonderful passage. It's a wonderful story. In our house, when we go through storybook Bibles, there's always excitement when we get to that story. And it's just phenomenal. There's so much in it. There's an example of baptism. But there's more than that. And we see at least five things that I'd just like to briefly mention this morning. Firstly, we see that faithful living, Christianity, Christian living, doesn't guarantee an easy life. Paul and Silas carried out a compassionate act, or at least Paul did, through the power of Jesus Christ. He healed this girl of a demon that had afflicted her. Many would rejoice at such a thing. Paul and Silas were placed in prison. All that they were actually doing in that town was telling people of the love of Jesus. All they did in many towns they went to was tell people of the love of Jesus and tell them to repent and turn to him. And time again, they were imprisoned or beaten, despised and rejected. Now, that's not a wonderful advert for Christianity. Forgive me. Being a Christian doesn't guarantee us an easy life now. It doesn't guarantee us riches or wealth or health or beauty. But, as we've briefly mentioned, being a Christian, trusting in Jesus, does guarantee us a glorious future. Some of my favourite verses in the Bible are found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through to 5. 1 Peter chapter, I was about to try and quote them from the top of my head, but I'll get it wrong. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through to 5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his mercy, his free gift, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." I wonder if you picture your favourite place on earth, the place that you would love to go to and spend endless time at. I'm not going to try and imagine where it would be. And then picture that place in 50 years' time. Would it look as glorious as it does in your memory? We've been back to campsites that we thought were wonderful. And even within a year, they're not the same. What about 1,000 years? Picture back to Henry VIII, what his palaces would have looked like and how he'd have thought they were wonderful. What are most of them now? Well, many of them are crumbling ruins. I'm sure I'm probably getting history wrong there, and some are still wonderful. Don't quote me. What about 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 years from now? If our treasure is in heaven, if our hope is in heaven, our hope is in a place that will never perish, will never go bad, will never even fade. And that's truly phenomenal. Christianity doesn't guarantee us an easy life now, but it does guarantee us a perfect life in the future, in heaven. That's the first thing we see. Secondly, we see that God has wondrous power. Jesus has wondrous power. We've already seen that through the healing of this slave girl, but let's read verse 25 again. At midnight, Paul and Silas, gloriously singing hymns to God, the prisoners were listening to them. There's a whole sermon you could get just from that verse. But verse 26 says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened. Everyone's bonds were unfastened. Great joy found in that verse. I have never seen an earthquake undo someone's handcuffs. I've never seen an earthquake have the purposeful power of opening doors. I've never seen an earthquake, but I've seen pictures of the destruction that they cause. Paul and Silas were in the deepest parts of this prison. They were chained. They were bound. The powers that be thought they were there forevermore. But not with God. God was more powerful than anything the world could throw at Paul and Silas. He decided, he chose that there would be an earthquake, the doors would open, and they could go free. Paul and Silas were in a deep pit, a pit of despair, really. They were showing joy by singing. But no matter what problem they faced, God could overcome it. Be careful with that. Sometimes we're left to go through trials for purposes that God understands to strengthen our faith. But we can rest assured, no matter what we face on earth now, God can overcome it. Whatever our biggest problems, God can help us through them. Unless, of course, he wants us to carry on going through them to strengthen our faith, to strengthen us, or for some other purpose. We've already heard this morning of dark times that brought about a glorious purpose. And sometimes God uses the dark times we go through to bring about glorious futures. But God has wondrous power. Thirdly, those that are regularly here on a Sunday will be impressed with the speed at which we're going through points. Thirdly, human actions change things. Human actions can be very helpful in God's plans. The actions of people can be fundamental into bringing people in to salvation. Now, I believe that to be a Christian is to be called by God. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. I can't make you a Christian. But look at what Paul and Silas were doing. They were in a place that was dark and dangerous, with not much hope for the days ahead. They were singing praise to God. The prisoners were listening. I'm pretty sure this jailer would also have heard it. He would have seen this glorious witness. What on earth are these people doing? He would have been used to people in this prison being glum, being fed up, having no hope. And yet these two come in singing praise to God. And then we see in verse 27 that the jailer realizes that all the doors are open, and he draws his sword and he's about to kill himself because he knew that he'd be punished if all the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cries out, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." I don't want to take this example too far, but had Paul and Silas run, like I would have done, they wouldn't have been there to speak to this jailer. Had they cared all just about their own freedom, they wouldn't have been there to speak to this person. Now, God could have used other ways to bring him to salvation, of course, but their actions brought about an opportunity to tell of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their example and their witness, their differences, brought about an opportunity to tell of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should be true of Christians as well. We're called to be different. Our hopes are different. Our plans and our securities are different. They are all found in God. And that's when this jailer asks this question. And he cries out. And he says in verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now I wonder what he was talking about being saved from. Possibly the first thing in his mind was, "Please save me from the Romans, they're going to hurt me." But Paul and Silas didn't answer that question. And in their answer, we see our fourth point, that true salvation comes through faith. What must I do to be saved? Wonderful question. The answer that Paul and Silas give is even better. They don't say, "You must live a life that is perfect and upstanding to all of God's laws." Yes, God's law is great and we should seek to do that, but that's not the way to salvation because we will all fail. Paul and Silas don't say you must give 100 drachma to the local something in order to be saved. They don't say you must have to look good or be a nice person to be saved. No, they say, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." The salvation they were talking about is salvation from sin and salvation from God's judgment in order to be saved to God's blessings and the glorious future ahead. Salvation from God was far more important than salvation from the Romans. But it was actually much easier. All he had to do was believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Paul and Silas mean? Well, he means that they had to believe that Jesus died on a cross for their sins. I mentioned a few moments ago that God has wondrous power, and whatever our biggest problems are, he can help us if that's the right thing in God's plans. But actually, our biggest problem, no matter what we think it is sin or rejection of God's ways. I fully believe that God created this world and he created it perfect, and we mess up because we reject his ways. We try and go our own way. We do our own thing. Some people sum up sin as saying, "Shove off, God. I'm in charge, not you," or "No to your ways." S-I-N. That's not a true, strict biblical definition of sin, but it'll do. Our biggest problem is the problem of sin. And the only way out of that is by faith in Christ. Faith that Holly, Heather and Jeanette profess to have. Faith that I have. Faith that leads to a glorious salvation. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great question and what a wonderful answer. Fifth and finally, I missed a point. I missed an important point. Go back, 4.5. Faith leads to salvation, but it wasn't just for the Philippian jailer. Notice they said, "You and your household." Earlier when they were talking to Lydia, they said, "You and your household." It tells us two things. First of all, it tells us that salvation is actually independent. By me being a Christian doesn't mean my children are. They need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves. But it does tell us that this salvation isn't just limited to one or two people. Anyone who turns to the Lord will be saved. It was a message for this jailer and his whole family to hear, which is truly glorious. And it was a message that they responded to. And we see, fifthly and finally, eventually, faith in Christ leads to two things. It leads to baptism and joy. Baptism, verse 33. "He took them," the jailer took them, "and washed their wounds. He was baptized at once, he and all his family." He turned to Christ. He believed in the Lord Jesus. And the first thing he wanted to do was to obey the command to go through the waters of baptism to demonstrate his faith in Christ. He didn't become a good Christian. He didn't study God's word first. Faith led to salvation and then the demonstration of that through baptism. He was baptized at once, and wonderfully, his whole family was baptized with him. And that's something we can rejoice in today, that both Jeanette and Holly and Heather are all being baptized. And that is truly joyful, seeing a household baptized on the same day after coming to faith in Christ. Faith in Christ leads to salvation, but it also leads to baptism, or should lead to baptism. And finally, faith in Christ led to joy. Faith leads to baptism and joy. Look at verse 34. He brought them up into his house and set food before them. He rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Look at the contrast between not that long before. He was about to throw his life away. He was in despair. He was panicked. He turned to Christ and he was rejoicing with his entire household that he had believed in God. It doesn't say he was rejoicing that the Romans hadn't killed him or arrested him. He was rejoicing that he had believed in God. Faith in Christ leads to joy. Why? Well, we know that we have an eternal Father that loves us. We know that we have the Lord Jesus Christ who we can speak to, who takes all of our requests to the Father. We know that we have the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. We know that we have a great hope for the future. We know that God brings about his plans through us and through the situations we find ourselves in. We know that we have one who has promised to give us everything we need, not everything we want, but everything we need. Faith in Christ leads to joy, true, limitless, unboundless joy, because it's just so good and so worth it. Thank you.